prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers. I'm feeling better, but it seemed like the voice is a little weak this morning, so I pray the Lord to give us strength to bring the message that's upon our heart. Just appreciate every one of you that are here this morning, and just pray the Lord to bless us together for a little while. I want to continue from yesterday, from Philippians chapter 2, just a thumbnail sketch of to introduce our thoughts this morning. My heart has been set upon what kind of disciples are we? By the grace of God, He's blessed us to know Him. By the grace of God, we can love Him. By the grace of God, we can serve Him. That's why Paul would say, by the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. And I'm satisfied, except for the grace of God working in our hearts, none of us would be here today. The natural man doesn't desire anything of the things of God. So in Philippians chapter 2, the chapter begins by exhorting us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it tells us the kind of mind that we're to be as a church. We're to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, the only way a diverse group of people can do that is that they have a common goal of looking to the Lord, submitting ourselves to Him, and saying, not my will, but thine be done. That's the only way that we can be of one mind, is that when our mind is set upon the Lord. And then he goes into the wonderful and the perfect example that Jesus gave us of obedience when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That God, he says, who being in the form of God, that is, Christ is God. He always has been God. And even when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, He's God. Being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So as He came, He's God. And I mean, you just think, and we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the condescension of God to become man and to be a servant and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what that tells us is that whatever we're ever called upon to do in His service, we will never humble ourselves like Christ had to save us from our sins. So whatever He calls upon us to do is just our reasonable service, isn't it? Now, if we can keep our service to the Lord in that context, we won't be lifted up in pride. We will be humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves to His will. For he gets down to verses 12 and 13, and he says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Understanding that Christ has died and redeemed us from our sins and obtained for us eternal redemption, then we are to save ourselves daily, not eternally, but save ourselves daily from the ungodly influences and the fleshly tendencies of this flesh. That's a daily struggle, isn't it? But if our mind is not right, We're not going to do very well in that. We're not going to be a disciple of the Lord if our mind is not set upon the Lord. Now, we also said yesterday that we all have responsibilities in this world that requires great concentration, and our mind has to be set upon that in order to do a good job. But we ought to start our day setting our mind upon the Lord. Begin our day saying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for guidance. Ask Him to help you throughout your day, and your day will go much better when you start it off right. You can concentrate on those things that you have to do in a better frame of mind when you've started out right, because it's in agreement with that spirit within you that's leading. For he goes on to say, for it is God that worketh in you, verse 13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How wonderful that we have the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us daily. And so when we submit our will to God's will and get in conformity with that will that's working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, there's more peace within our very being. And when there's peace in the soul, then you can handle the things of life in a much better way, can't you? That's where we have to start as a disciple in our service to God, being at peace with God. For God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. All right? So what we find then is that in this chapter, he told us the kind of mindset we're to have. How we can have a good start in being a disciple. Now, let's keep going. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. How often we're given to complaining. How dare that happen to me? I'm better than that. You know, if nothing else, it happens in traffic, doesn't it? You know, do all things, all right? If you're trying to pursue your will, you're creating frustration from within your very soul. And from that, it's very easy to be irritated, isn't it? From that, it's very easy for things not to go your way. And from that, it's very easy for you to get lifted up in pride and start complaining and murmuring. But if we're in the right frame of mind, we won't be so given to that. What should we be as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we be meek and lowly like Christ? Shouldn't we be showing forth love and bearing fruit of the Spirit like Christ? But if we're murmuring and complaining and agitated and irritated and all of those things, we're not a very good witness for Christianity, are we? All right. So our first responsibility as a Christian is to bring glory to God and His Son. That's our first response. So how are we doing in that department? Bringing glory to God by our life. I mean, if somebody took a snapshot of last week or this past week and examined it for evidence of Christianity, would they have to look very hard? You know that old saying, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How are we doing in our first responsibility of bringing glory to God? All right? After all, God's people are the ones got to do that. Those that are not born of the Spirit are not going to do that. So that kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? And since God's people are needing to do that, then I can't control other people's lives, but I can work on mine. That's where we have to start. All right, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless. That is nothing to, no blame that anyone can accuse you of wrongdoing. Harmless, meek, not out after anybody. Okay, blameless and harmless, the sons of God. And when he said that ye may be, and then he talks about that you may be the sons of God, it's not that just this is going to make you children of God, but it's going to manifest the fact that you are. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I guess a modern rendering of that would be in the midst of a bunch of crooks and perverts. Doesn't that describe us today? Do we look like them? Or are we like Christ? Are we acting like them? Are we acting like the world? Do we look like the world? Or do we want to look like Christ? Do we want to follow Christ and be like Him so that there can be inner peace? Because we have conformed not to the world, but we've transformed our mind. We've renewed our mind, and our heart is being transformed so that there's peace within and that we can sow peace without. There's nothing we can do about this culture of crooks and perverts. I think it's here to stay, don't you? I wish I could change it, but I can't. But I can do something about what I do and how I respond to it and how I live among them. All right? That I didn't finish the verse now. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How bright's your light shining? Are you shining as lights in the world? You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, you know, not before the church, but before men, that others may see your good works and pat you on the back. No, I didn't say that, did it? That others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because He's the one that gave you the Spirit and the desire working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that Spirit is what enables us to do those good works. That's why we're created unto good works. Depending on how we respond to the Spirit working in us, we may or may not do those good works. And I'm sad to say that so many times we get busy in this world and we don't do much of those good works. We got too much of other things to do. But if we set our priority right and seek to do His will in the start of our day, then we can do those things that we need to do throughout our day in a way that's more pleasing in His sight, and with an attitude that's more pleasing unto Him, and with a manner that will bring more glory to His name. And that's our responsibility, isn't it? The unregenerated are not going to do that. It's God's, a people's responsibility to take care of that. How are we doing? How bright is our light shining in the midst of these crooks and perverts? How are we doing? Are we going along with their program, or are we following the Lord? Your peace, your joy, your happiness from within will depend upon how much we follow the working of that Spirit within us that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All right, and one more verse here. Holding forth the word of life. See, if we're shining as lights in this world, if we're showing forth His glory, we're holding forth that word of life. There's something that can be seen. You know, to a great extent, I believe that's what the candlestick of the church is all about. Are we holding forth the word of life? Do we have a heart that desires to know the word of God and a desire to follow the word of God so that our life is shining forth to the world? Or are we under a bushel? In that place where we think we're safe and nobody's going to hurt us. We need to be shining as lights. Let your light so shine before men. The Lord will take care of the consequences, won't he? We need to be faithful to him. He's done so much for us. Has he blessed you this week? Has he shown mercy to you this week? Do you have air to breathe? Did the sun come up this morning? Might have come up a little sooner this morning, didn't it? Seems like, but it was right on time. Man keeps messing with the clock, but God's works are right on time. Okay? And we, just like the sun, we are to be shining forth. Glory to God, because we're loving God, thanking God for what he's done for us, looking to him for the wisdom we need for each day, and trying the best we can to honor him in all that we undertake to do each day. Now that's how we shine forth as lights in the world. Now, I don't have my watch, so bear with me. Disciples. In this portion of Philippians chapter 2, we've talked about the mindset we need to have in approaching discipleship. We talked a little bit here in the middle portion of the chapter about how we're to, it's God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So how should we respond? Now, there's thousands of do's and don'ts in the scriptures, aren't there? So we need to look for principles that'll help us to kind of categorize these things and help us to remember what our responsibilities as a disciple should be. And so I've picked four things this morning. It could be a lot longer list, but I probably won't have time for the four. But those four things that I want to talk about this morning, if we're indeed wanting to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we want to be shining forth as lights in the midst of this culture around about us, then these are things we need to remember to guide us each day. All right? First of all, if you remember, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, remember that? Remember the next thing he said? The first requirement that he gives as a disciple? You know, you find it several places in Scripture, but Luke 9:23 is one of them. And I like that rendering of it. They're all good. They're all the Word of God and inspired. But Luke, being the physician and giving us a little more detailed information as he writes, being led of the Spirit, he adds one little element there that the other writers don't include. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, which by the way, that means if any man will be like me. To come after him is to be like him, that is, to respond to life the way he did, to honor the Lord the way he did, to speak the way he did, to act the way he did. If we're going to be like him, and that's what a disciple should do, isn't it? By the way, a disciple is a, my favorite definition of disciple is a disciplined learner. What do you mean disciplined? Spankings? Well, that might happen. But discipline in the sense of conforming to the master. Conforming to the will and becoming more like the master. You know, Jesus said it's enough that the disciple be as his master. That's our goal, isn't it? I know it's a high bar, but that's the mark to which we press. All right? To be like the master, to discipline ourselves, to conform to his will, to conform to his way, so that as we go about this life, we're bringing honor and glory to his matchless name. And listen, to shine as lights is more than just kind of giving mental assent to this way. But to glorify Him means we're doing something that shows forth His character. That we're doing things that shows forth His love. That's what glorifies Him. When we do things that are like Him, because He's the one with all glory. There's nothing about this flesh and fleshly ways that glorifies God. But when we conform to Him, when we follow His teachings, when we love each other like we should, when we do those good works like we should, then that begins to shine forth, because that's more than this flesh would ever do on its own. It's because He's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and we're being obedient to that. We're following that. We're taking that leadership of the Spirit and putting it into practice. And that's where your joy is going to come from, when you put it into practice. It's not, Jesus didn't say in John 13, happy are you if you know these things, right? He said, happy are you if you do them. There's a wonderful blessing in taking what the Spirit's working in us and putting some feet to it and doing something that results in a blessing to somebody else and glory to God. That's what we need to be doing as disciples, so that we can shine forth as lights in the midst of this generation. Don't we want to do that? Don't we want to, as a church, don't we want to be a bright and shining light like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid? Don't we want to be doing those things which the Lord puts upon our heart that will be a blessing to others? All right? So, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny, oh, preacher. You had to get on that one, didn't you? Well, that's where it starts. Denying self. Not that we can't have any enjoyment in this life, but that we submit our will to God's will. Wouldn't you say that God's will is the best? Only by the Spirit you can say that. But we can say that, can't we? Because we have the Spirit of God working in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. And when we do His will, there's peace within us. And when we do those things, there's joy that comes from it. All right? So what we see then is that self-denial, Jesus knew perfectly what was required, and so if we're not submitting to His will, if we're trying to do our will, we're going to meet with frustration, if nothing else, from within. But when we submit ourselves to His will, and there's conformity to what God's working in us and what we're living out in this life, then there's joy and peace to be found. Then we can start shining forth as lights. Because that's going to bring glory to God. So first of all, we got the idea of self-denial. Self-denial. Luke went on to say, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That word daily is something that you find in Luke's account of this that you won't find in the other places. Let him take up his cross daily. In other words, this is something that we need to do on a regular basis. To take up the cross, you know, someone who was condemned to death and was crucified, they had to carry their own cross. Yeah. All right? The idea here is that we have to do what we have to do to be faithful to God. Whatever that might be. Every day. See, it's not a one-time thing. It's daily. Because this old flesh is going to be pulling against us. That's why we have to press into the kingdom. That's why we have to give energy to our service to God. Because it doesn't come naturally. This old flesh is going to work against you. So how are we doing in that? when we talk about denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily and following Him, if we follow the flesh, well, as a matter of fact, this morning, if all of us had followed the inclinations of the flesh, we wouldn't have been here, would we? I'm thankful for your presence this morning. I'm thankful that you followed that which was working in your heart and come out to the house of God so that we can blend our voices together in praise and adoration to His holy name and in a measure thank Him for the blessings that He's given us this week. And then hear from the Word that the Lord has provided for today. Disciples, letting our light shine, shining forth, holding forth that word of life, and shining as lights in this dark world. The light will shine, with regard to self-denial now, the light will shine as we choose godliness and not the flesh. Because if you choose the flesh, that light's not going to shine. But if you choose godliness, if you choose to honor the Lord, if you listen to the leadership of the Spirit of God in you, then that light can shine. But we can shut it off by choosing the flesh. All right? Self-denial. Not something we like to think about, but it is part of discipleship. It's something we have to do on a regular, daily basis if we're going to let our light shine, if we're going to be shining forth as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. All right? And I'd say, I hope you agree with me, it's so needful in our day, isn't it? I mean, we're living in a day when Christianity is persecuted. You know, we like to think that we used to be a Christian nation. I don't know if we've ever been a Christian nation, but we've been a nation that had absolute tolerance for Christianity for a long time. But that's changing. I'm not being an alarmist. I'm being real here. That's changing. And if you're not aware of that, I'm sorry for the rude awakening, but that's changing. The point is, not to get you upset about it, the point is, it's more incumbent upon us as a generation right now to be faithful to God, I believe, than it's ever been in this nation. Now, it's important for every generation to take that baton and run with it. But we're living in a generation where a lot of people are not doing that. And I'm sad to say it's a lot of good people that are just not standing up for what's right. They're just willing to go along with the flow. Let's be faithful. Let's shine forth as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. All right? So first step is self-denial. We'll go to John chapter 8 now for the next verse, speaking about discipleship. We're going to look at these principles of discipleship so that we can continue to let our light shine. John 8:31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed." Oh. If you continue in My word. Now, we've already talked about how I liked Luke's account of that verse in Luke chapter 9, because he talked about take up your cross daily. All right? If we're going to continue in His word, then that's something we're going to have to do on a daily basis, isn't it? All right? So same idea here, the same need for this to be on a continuous basis, but he said, if you continue in My word. Well, let's see now. That carries the idea of having to know something about what the word says, doesn't it? And if we're going to know what it says, you're going to have some exposure to it, either reading it yourself or listening to preaching. And if you're going to depend on listening to preaching, that's going to be limited, isn't it? Okay? Because there's so much in the Word of God that you just can't cover in 1 hour of the week. Okay? So you need to be reading it. You need to have some exposure to it. And aren't you thankful for a godly heritage? That there have been those in our past or somewhere in our life that have given us a godly influence and has taught us those things. Maybe it wasn't book, chapter, and verse, and hopefully it was, but even if it wasn't, they gave you a good example to pattern your life after that's patterned according to the Word of God. If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed? How are we doing in that department? Continuing in His Word, being exposed to it, keeping it in remembrance, putting it to practice, living according to it, having our lives patterned after it, making those choices that are according to God's will and not our own will, staying, continuing in His Word. That's a full-time job, isn't it? You can't do it one day of the week. Doesn't work that way. If we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to let our light shine, if we're going to be His light shining in this crooked and perverse nation, and bless your hearts, we need to be standing upon that Word. We need to be growing in that Word. We need that Word transforming us. We need that Word guiding us so that we can be His disciple every day. We need that, don't we? Our nation needs that. Our families need that. We need to be guided by this Word. And so Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed. All right? When we continue in that Word, that light shines forth, doesn't it? The light will be shining as long as we're continuing in the Word. If we take a detour, start following our own thinking, our own ways, the ways of the world, it shuts off the light, doesn't it? If we're going to be shining as lights, you know, isn't it annoying when you got a light and it flickers or goes off or something, you can't trust it coming on? That's annoying, isn't it? Well, it's a great hindrance, isn't it? I mean, depending on what you're doing, it could be could be deadly. Well, if we as disciples are on again and off again, and sometimes we're on, sometimes we're off, that's not very honoring to the Lord. As a matter of fact, that's not a good witness before others. If you're claiming to be a Christian, if you're claiming to love the Lord, if you're claiming to love the Word of the Lord, and yet one day you're acting one way, and one day and around some people you're acting one way, and around other people you're acting differently, what kind of a witness is that? We're not to flicker as lights in the world. We're to be shining forth. Shining forth. That takes some effort, doesn't it? Oh, preacher, don't ask me to do anything. I just want to come here and feel good. Brethren, it's high time. This nation is slipping away from us. Now, God can change it in an instant. But this is going to take some repentance. There's going to take some diligence in seeking after Him and asking for His mercy. We don't deserve any of His mercy, do we? With the things that this nation, as a government, the things that this nation is condoning today, we don't deserve any of God's mercy. And yet, look at how much mercy we're still getting. Isn't that a testament to His mercy enduring forever? Isn't that a testament to the long-suffering of God? Do we all come to repentance? He's so worthy of our adoration. He's so worthy of our heart. Look what He gave to us. He gave us everything. Gave us His very life. Can we not give Him some time? Can we not give Him some affection of our heart? Can we not give Him some attention? Can't we at least start our day saying, thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us? Help me this day to seek thy face, and help me to look to thee, and give me the leadership of your Spirit so that the decisions that I make will honor you. That's a good start. As disciples, the light will shine as we continue in his word. All right, moving on into John 13. We talked about denying self. We've talked about continuing in his word so that we can be disciples indeed. There's another statement we'll find in John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Don't we want to know what that is? Don't we want to live that? Don't we want to show to others whose disciple we are? It shouldn't be a guessing game with folks that see our lives, should it? You know, unless we're flickering in this world instead of shining. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you suppose he thought that there's times where we won't do this. I know he did. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He didn't say love one for another. That's understood. But the one love one to another has some action to it, doesn't it? We're actually fulfilling. You know, we all have good intentions, don't we? Medicate ourselves sometimes, think, well, I had good intention. I intended to do that. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, when you think about the cross, there's a vertical member and there's a horizontal member to that cross, isn't there? And when we think about our love to God, there's a vertical component and there's a horizontal. You know, what's the first and great commandment? When Jesus was asked that question, remember how he answered? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love to God first. If you get that in place, you're in a whole lot better position to love one another. And it takes both, doesn't it? As far as discipleship, we love him because he first loved us. And so we should love him first in our lives. Then, he says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's your neighbor? Jesus was asked that question one time. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus turned that question around, didn't he? It's not a matter of who is my neighbor. It's who to whom can I be a neighbor? That's your responsibility, to be a neighbor, to be loving. That other person may not be loving. That other person may not return your love. But your responsibility is to be loving. You might say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, neither did you deserve God's love, but he gave it to you anyway. And so on that basis, because he loved us first, because we didn't deserve it, but he loved us anyway, that's what grace is all about, isn't it? Don't you love grace? The longer I live, the more I just, the deeper appreciation I have for the grace of God. Merited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. But there's another definition of grace. It's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. We didn't deserve God's grace, but he gave it to us. And what a blessing that is. Well, we look about us, and in the midst of these crooks and perverts, there may be the people we see that we decide in our heart, well, they don't deserve God's grace. Well, we need to remember we didn't either. But He was merciful to us. He was gracious to us. He gave us what we didn't deserve. And so, bless your hearts, if we're going to be faithful to Him, if we're going to be like Him and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to love others. Our focus needs to be on what we can do that will be a blessing to somebody else. It'll result in a blessing to you. You know, have you ever gone to visit somebody that was sick, hoping that you might be able to say a word or do something that would be a help to them, maybe even cheer them up a little bit? And if they were in the right spirit when you visited with them, you went away probably being more encouraged than they were. That's just the way the love of God is. When we follow the leadership of the Spirit and we do those things which are pleasing to the Lord, we're blessed even more. All right? So, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, if we're going around murmuring and complaining, you know, He said, don't do that. Murmuring and disputing, you know, stirred up strife, talking about what's wrong instead of trying to be a part of the solution. If you have love one to another. There's so many things people are talking about these days, it'd be better off just unsaid. Plenty of things that people are doing nowadays, it'd be better off undone. There's far more better things and far more wholesome things that we could be doing with a lot of our time, and especially our thoughts, to stay in a better frame of mind and to be more of a light in this world. So, Paul makes a statement in connection with this. Being a disciple and showing that we're a disciple by if we have love one to another, Paul makes a statement in Galatians chapter 5 about, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. That's what I'm after. Faith which worketh by love. In other words, faith is enabled by love, isn't it? God first loved us. Therefore, we have the love of God in us, and having His Spirit and His love, that enables faith. All right? Without the Spirit of God in you, there is no faith toward God. But with the Spirit of God in you, there is faith toward God. It's enabled by love. It's energized by love. Think about this for a moment. If you go a week without thinking about the Lord, how much energy do you have toward thinking about God? Surely not any light shining forth, is there? You know, we laugh sometimes when we think about the children of Israel. It's not a laughing matter, but you think about the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness and Moses went up on Mount Sinai. And how long did he stay there? 40 days. And when he came down, the people had totally forsaken God. I mean, this is after crossing the Red Sea. This is after seeing the miracles in Egypt. This is after all of those things. And they just made some gods of gold and said, these be the gods that delivered us from Egypt. Isn't that preposterous? Well, it shows us a principle. It doesn't take you very long. You start following the ways of the flesh and start thinking the ways of the world to be totally going away from God. All right? Faith which worketh by love. Now, I said, what if you went a week without thinking about God? What if you didn't miss a day? Starting out your day thanking God for his blessings, praying to him for the needs that you have and for the needs of others and your loved ones, praying to him throughout the day. You know, he says pray without ceasing, and that's just a prayerful attitude, thinking about others as you go about doing those things. I know you can't do that 24/7, but you can have a prayerful attitude, and in between tasks and things like that, you can think about somebody and ask the Lord to bless them or whatever, thank the Lord for the blessings of the day, whatever the case might be, but having your mind set upon the Lord. Now, by the end of that week, if you're doing that on a regular basis, you think you have some loving feelings toward God? Brethren, I know you will. I know you will. That's why in the beginning of this chapter, in Philippians chapter 2, it was so important to get the mind where it ought to be. Set upon God. Because when you think about God, you think about who he is and what he is and what he has done for us and how unworthy we are, but he did it anyway, and how secure we are in the finished work of Christ. When you think about those things, it saves you from fleshly impulses. It saves you from bad decisions. It saves you from all the ungodly influences that we come against. Now, you know, we need to be begging the Lord for help. I'm not saying you're going to be invincible. But Paul did say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If our whole reliance and dependence is upon the Lord, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. It'll make a tremendous difference, and that light's going to be glowing, because you're going to be beaming with thanksgiving. You're going to be beaming with loving thoughts of a God who loved us and saved us, the one who gave himself for us that we might be with him forever. Oh, I tell you, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. When you're feeling that way that I've just described, you're going to have loving thoughts toward one another. You're going to be wanting to do things to show your love for one another. You're going to be meek and humble in your service to God. That's what we need to be, isn't it? That's where we need to be in our discipleship. All right, so it's a necessary part. Faith works by love. If we're being faithful to God, if we're making those good decisions, then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So by doing those things, faith working by love, we're keeping his commandments, we're honoring him, we're glorifying him, showing our love for him. So the light is shining as you show forth love one to another. One more. John 15:8. Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified. Oh, we're interested in that. We're disciples of Jesus. We want to do that, don't we? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Okay. Bearing fruit. Obviously, we're talking about spiritual fruit, aren't we? We're talking about fruit of the Spirit. So, necessarily, only those who have the Spirit of God can bear those fruit of the Spirit. Well, what are they? Do you remember what they are? The very first one is love, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. There's 9 of them. Bearing fruit of the Spirit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Oh, preacher, didn't he say some fruit? No, he said much fruit. Much fruit. As a matter of fact, in John 15, let me show you something. Probably already know it, but I'll remind you of it. John 15, chapter begins, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I don't want to go there, do you? There's some purging being spoken of there. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, well, he would be pleased with that, wouldn't he? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Oh. That it may bring forth more fruit. This is a constant principle in the Word of God. He would have us to be growing. Growing. I often use the illustration of our little children. Isn't it wonderful to watch them grow? We want them to slow down a little bit a lot of times and not grow so fast, but you want them to grow, don't you? Because you want them to be capable of living their life and capable of handling things. If they spent 12 years in the cradle, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? Don't you think our Father in heaven wants us to grow? He gives us everything we need every day to grow. He provides all that we need. He even works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's already shown us tremendous love. And that word pales in trying to describe the love God has shown to us and who continues to show each day and who will continue, for Jesus' sake, to continue to show us His love every day, even into all eternity. So if we're going to be a shining light, we need to be growing, don't we? We need to be learning. We need to be thinking of Him, being reminded of what He's done for us, being reminded of His greatness, being reminded of His ability to handle our problems. God, who created all of these things, surely He can handle our little problems, can't He? He can. Well, why do we worry and stew over them? I know we're going to have concerns in life, and there's times we're going to worry. But the problem comes in is when we stay in the worrying state and not trust the Lord. There are going to be times when we're fearful. But we need to soon remember God's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you believe that? Yeah, He is. But we forget that, don't we? We need to remember it. And the best way to remember it is to keep reading His Word, continuing in His Word, showing love, remembering we need to deny this flesh and submit ourselves to His will. And when we submit ourselves to His will and seek His face as our loving Heavenly Father, He is pleased to provide what we need. And He knows exactly what we need, doesn't He? You know what He gives, not like we give. Sometimes we give gifts that just not appropriate. You know, either person doesn't like it, or it's the wrong color, wrong size, didn't spend enough, you know, all those kind of things enter into the gifts that we give folks and how they receive it. But listen, when God gives us a gift and when He provides, it's exactly what we need. It may not be what we want. We may not even thought about it. But He knows all things. And so, in His love and in His infinite wisdom. He blesses and blesses and blesses. And aren't you glad that he's not limited in his blessings to what we have asked for? So in bearing spiritual fruit, I got to grab one thing here as a caution. You remember the parable of the sower and the seeds? And the more I've studied that, the more I prefer to call that the sower and the soils. Because it's the idea of seed being sown into various types of soil and it being received differently. I don't see it profitable to try to look at those soils as some are children of God and some are not. That's not the issue. The issue is the condition of the heart when the seed is sown. God's people could have their heart on the things of this world and not receive the word of God. You can be caught up in the things of this world and the seed is not going to produce much fruit. The reason I say that, I'll use Luke's account of this, Luke chapter 8, very briefly here. I won't get into all the parable, but there were seeds sown by the wayside, and those on stony ground, and those among thorns, and then those in the good ground. When he talked about the seed that fell among thorns, in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Now, if herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, what does that say about those whose heart are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection? We're not glorifying God, are we? We're not shining as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. So, the heart being choked means it was so full of the things of this world, it didn't have any room for the Word of God to work and produce. So we need to guard ourselves against that, don't we? We need to guard ourselves against those things choking out the effect of the Word of God. And the way to do that is to start working that garden of your heart, giving it the good nutrients, working it, being exercised by the Word of God, so that we can give more time and attention, start your day at least, in the right attitude, thinking about the goodness and mercy of God, and carrying some of those good thoughts with you throughout the day, so that you cannot flicker in this world, but shine. Shine forth. Holding forth the word of life. That's somebody looking at your life and seeing the effects of God, seeing Christ in you. Seeing Christ coming forth from you in the love that you're showing to others. Those are the things that if we want to be faithful disciples of the Lord and shine as lights in this world, giving glory to God, those are the kinds of things we need to be doing every day. Not just listening to the preacher say it on Sunday, but taking that when you go out the door and doing something about it in the days ahead. For if you know these things, happy are you if you do them, right? Okay, so to be true disciples and to shine forth as lights, we need to deny ourselves. We need to continue in His Word. We need to show that love one to another. And we need to be bearing much fruit. You know what kind of fruit we're talking about. Love, joy, peace. Having a joyful heart in the things of God. Doesn't that lift your spirits when you're around somebody that evidently is rejoicing in the goodness and mercy of God? But somebody that's complaining and whining and all, that just drags you down. I mean, you know, we call those joy suckers. Just sucks the joy right out of you. We've got plenty. As God's people, we've got plenty to be rejoiced. Sometimes circumstances are hard, and sometimes life is tough. But if our mind and our heart is set upon the Lord, there's something to rejoice about while you're dealing with those things. It'll help you tremendously. Let that light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We need to be children of light, don't we? We need to be faithful disciples. He's worthy of all that we can do to His honor and more. May God help us to do a better job of being a disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you is our prayer.